need. Something's happening. Doctor? Doctor!
How is this possible?
What's happening to him?
He changed.
I don't believe what I just saw. Who is this man?
Oh, good grief. That was most unpleasant. Must remember not to repeat that experience. I say, what are you all staring at me like that for? It's very rude.
Doctor? It's really you?
Of course it's me. Who else were you expecting?
I...
Well, don't dawdle, child. Help me get up.
Yes, of course.
Oh, how very inconvenient that was.
Who are you?
Is something affecting your memory, my dear? I am the doctor.
This is impossible. You're an old man.
Old? How dare you? When you've lived almost 2 millennia, I'd think you'd have a right to some gray hair. You believe I chose this body? That's the problem with regeneration. You never know what you're going to get.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the edition of the Random Crap Podcast. I'm your host, Lee Sands, a.k.a. the Odd Ranger. And tonight I'm joined by a very special guest for a very special interview, because this year is the 30th anniversary... Thank God. I just didn't believe the 30th anniversary of DWAD, a.k.a. the Doctor Who Audio Dramas. And it's also... Is it the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who this year?
Wow, is it really? That's amazing. Yeah. I didn't realize it was the anniversary. That is, for the show itself, that's awesome.
Positive it is. I'll just double check. Sorry. Anywho, my special guest tonight, folks, is... Would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say my name. I was waiting for it. R. Douglas Barbieri. Hello, everyone. Glad to be on the show. Thanks, Lee. Thanks for inviting me.
That's all right. Yeah, it's definitely 50th anniversary this year.
Okay. That's fantastic. Wow. Well, I've been a bit remiss on my television show watching, and so I've been trying to catch up with the new Doctor, particularly. Which is proving to be quite good. At least the first episode I thought was just very top notch.
Matt Smith, you mean? Or
yeah, Matt Smith. Yeah,
I really liked the second episode. Had me in tears, positive tears though.
When they go to the when they're on that giant space whale, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
was a very good episode.
So here, folks, because it's also the 30th anniversary of Doctor Who Audio Dramas, one of the, I think, the only longest-running Doctor Who fan audio in the world that's still running. Because let's face it, there have been others that have come and gone, audiovisuals, Back to Reality, and even some of the most popular ones now, like Broken Sea or Dark Projects or Damn, they haven't been running nowhere near as long as DWAD.
Well, you know what's really cool about DWAD, or I think is really interesting, is these guys have been doing it basically since 1982, which means there's no internet and there's really no nonlinear editing. It's you're using tapes. So, I mean, these guys are hand-doing and everything, and, you know, lines are not being submitted over the internet because there is no internet, and I just think it's really incredible.
It's like when I first got the role of Charlie Hawkins, one of the many things I did was listen to the making of first, as they went into quite a lot of detail how they first started making the earlier eps. And I also read the David Siegel and Jeffrey Coburn handbooks one. They go into like how they had to schedule actors, they would get theatre actors in, they'd get actors that went on to do like voice acting and stuff. And it's a fascinating read. But like you said, yeah, it's just back in the days before the internet. Well, in order to make a fan audio, you have to get some very talented people around your house one afternoon and try and make something.
It's true. But the neat thing about that, I think, would be it's a little more like doing a live production where you've got the cast in the same room.
Yeah.
And I think there's that added – and also all the mic quality is going to be the same. Mm. You're not going to have to worry about the mic quality being different, and But there would be some advantages, I think, where you just have the actors in the same room, and then you could act, you know, you could react to each other and that kind of stuff.
Mm. Yeah, read their facial expressions, and yeah, I know what you mean. Because it's like Big Finish, they're all in separate recording booths, someone told me.
Wow.
You have, like, probably, say, the Doctor and the Companion in one booth, and then you have other people in another booth, and...
Man... Yeah, that would be well. I got a little bit of a taste of actually doing something somewhat live. I remember the birthday audio that I did for my wife.
Yes.
That
you were, yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Well, the part of Lady Galadriel was played by a close friend of mine here, and she and I just we had a mic set up and we just took the lines right there because it was a scene with just the two of us. And that was actually the closest I've actually come. I actually had a real-life fellow audio actor in the same room with me.
I mean, I wouldn't call it acting. I mean, on the side, I do, as the audience knows, I do a fan fiction podcast. It's basically like an MST. Mm. And for those people who don't know what MST means, it's Mystery Science Theatre. Where we read it. I'd act as well sometimes, and then we just put in those little like MST style lines. And I think that's besides that and the amateur acting group I used to be part of, that's like the only live acting I ever done. But it helps that I had someone, because a lot of time I used to record in the same room with a person. I've had friends over and we just sit in front of the mic, so you know, no worries about mic quality. As you were saying about the earlier DWADs, but it also helps just their reactions as we were doing it, and like I said, it's a fun way of acting, I think, especially if you've done the online acting for so many years, and you'd want something different, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. There's trade-offs. I mean, you know, the nice thing about being in the booth by yourself is you flub up a line, it's okay, you go back and you know, you fix it. You can get your takes perfect, you know, with no mistakes, no flubs, you know, and whatnot. But I do think you kind of do miss the element a little bit of having that live interaction.
Yeah.
The closest I've come actually to that is I did a production with Russ Gold. You know who Russ Gold is, right?
He's been in several online ones. He was also in Equilibrium.
He was one of the cast members with us in Equilibrium.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I know
the most. He also had his own series called Misfile.
And that's the series. That's the series. And I was cast as the father.
I've still got that on my laptop. I forgot about that because I went onto your website thinking, oh, maybe I should double check what Doug's been in, because I know. Agent 13, Equilibrium,
yes.
Wild Arms.
That's when I first met Russ. Quote unquote, Russ Gold was in Agent 13. That's when I first heard his voice.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I remember them. So you hosted them for a long time because Lee the Brit only used RapidShare, and then those links would expire after a certain amount of time.
Yeah. Well, I've got the whole thing mirrored on my site. That was actually a fun production to be a part of. It was there was some ups and downs about it, but I think for the most part it was lots of fun. It was a good story too, you know.
I always liked working with Lee the Bert. He always seemed to have a slightly laid back approach, and he'd let you do your own thing, and he was quite quick as well.
Yeah, he was, and his stories were, you know, really good. It's like, well, this is a really interesting story, and interesting characters and that sort of thing. So yeah, it was a lot of fun to act on his stuff, you know.
I mean,
But anyway, I was just gonna make my point about Misfile is Russ Gold. He used to hold Skype read through sessions. And that was fabulous. So you just start your recorder in the side, and then you just, you know, that felt the closest, because I've actually been involved in live productions, but when, it was when I was in high school. I was involved in the high school plays, and that felt the most like a play to me. Because Russ is I've got so much respect for Russ as a vocal actor and as a director. He really, it was awesome because it's like being in the same room with them. And instead of, you know how you take it, make a take, and then you send it in, and a couple days later you get an email back from your director, that wasn't right. Can you do it more like this?
Yeah. Like, he's emailed me a few times with Charlie, like, can you make Charlie sound more desperate? Can you make Charlie sound even more worried?
Yeah. That's exactly right. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you send it in, and then, you know, and then you get, no, that wasn't quite right either. Well, with Russ, it was just like, awesome, automatic, instant feedback. I took a line, and he's like, no way, I want it a lot stronger, a lot harder. Remember, you're angry, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, you know, and then I'll just do it and finally get it where he wanted it. And he's like, that's it. So it was really a great experience. And again, you know, he's the kind of guy that gives, I think, really good direction, you know. So sometimes you can be on a production where you kind of don't get much back. And
I've been on a few of them. I won't name names, but you get some of them. They're like, here's the script. You read it, send your lines, and they're like, yeah, cheers. This will be out in like 3 months.
Yeah,
that's about it.
Yep. And then you have no idea. Well, the thing what annoys me, and this I think just one of the things that is a disadvantage, is that you don't get to hear the other actors. You don't know how they're taking the lines. And sometimes you might react differently depending on, you know, like you read it one way and maybe the actor interprets it differently than you read it. Right. So you'll read their line and then you'll react and then you hear their line and you go, that's not right. If I had heard that, I would have taken this line so much differently. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember one of the things that got me into voice acting online was the making of with Mark Bazzio over at Dark Projects, and he's going on about he'd been a stage actor for like 50 years of his life, and he came onto online because it was like, to him, he said it's like acting without the safety net because you can't interpret what the other actors are going to say. And, you know, in a way that can be an advantage, and in other ways, like you said, it can be a disadvantage. So I think it also depends on what kind of experience you had.
Well, I think it's acting with a massive safety net because you can retake lines and you can go back and fix things. And if you stumble and trip over a line, no big deal. It's when you're on stage and it's live, there is no safety net. So now you got to start thinking on your feet. And that's a whole different world. You know, I mean, first of all, you have to have all your lines memorized too. And with this, is you can just read off of a piece of paper, no big deal. You know, so
it makes you wonder how some actors do it. Because I remember I posted on my Facebook. I think was it last year or the year before? I went to the theatre, my hometown. We got one of the things that my town Coventry is famous for is we got the Belgrave Theatre. It's a really old theatre building. There's live stage shows daily. Been here for years. I think it was just built shortly after World War II. I mean, we've had the likes of Ian McKellen, Sylvester McCoy, Richard E. Grant there. There's an actor born in Cov, he's got his big break. Clive Owen, that's it. Clive Owen got his big break there. He's a Cov-born lad. Have you ever seen any of his films?
No, I never. I haven't. Yeah.
He did one with Jude Law called Closer. And one of the reasons he got picked for this film was he'd done the stage version, but he played the Jude Law character. So when they asked him to come on, he said, actually, can I play the other guy? Because I've played the Jude Law character. I would like to play the other guy for a change and view it from his point of view. So I think it's all about people cheating on each other and relationships. And it's like Friends, but without the laughter. But what I was going to say there, I remember making a comment about when I went to about, I think it was like a year and a half ago, I went to see Colin Baker in The Ghost. He did a stage play, Inspector Morse, that was it. Inspector Morse was a long running TV show. Show got dropped because the author stopped writing books for a while, and then about a year later the original actor passed away. Colin Baker did a say-so, playing Inspector character. It's like a 1980s set detective drama, And that, I think that's what one of the appeals was as well. Because, you know, it's back when they've no mobiles, there's, you know, pay phones, no internet, nothing
right.
like that.
Right.
And it was on stage as well. It was a good story. And I'm watching Say So, and I'm thinking to myself, dear God, how long did you spend memorising all these lines? Tom Baker has a lot to do in it.
Yeah. I mean,
he's the detective. He's Inspector Morse.
Wow. And yeah, how do you cram all that in? And yeah, that to me is incredible. Well, I happen to be a part of this tour called Star Wars on Tour. Mm-hmm. And I just briefly, when it came to town, I got to sing in the choir. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't know if you know about what it is, Star Wars on Tour. Well, Anthony Daniels basically toured with it, right? Anthony Daniels, you know, C-3PO, right?
Yeah.
And he was a narrator, a live narrator. And then what they did was they projected images from the movie, and they had a live orchestra and a live choir. There's two pieces that require a choir. That's clever. And it was interesting. First of all, Anthony Daniels, if you ever meet the guy, he's just the nicest guy ever. What a great guy. And takes it, he would always, because they, when they traveled to different cities, they would recruit local choir talent, right? And so that's why we got to perform with when it came to the Sacramento area and then into the Bay Area, which is the San Francisco area for anyone's wants to know where that is. And so it was interesting to watch him. He would pace around backstage, and he was just going over his lines, you know, because he's got to get up there and deliver this stuff. So he had to have it all memorized. And he doesn't have a lot of lines. Well, I take it back. He does, but it's not as much as Colin Baker here, I'm sure. He's not 100% on the stage, you know. He comes in, you know, reads an opening monologue, and then they go into the piece. And then he comes back out, and then he continues to kind of tell the story of the whole Star Wars saga. Really good stuff. But it was, just, I mean, to your point of lines memorization, it's just, I think you just have to, and I remember being on stage in high school, you got into the rhythm of the play, and that's how you memorized everything. So you got to memorize not only your lines, but everybody else's, and plus the music. And I remember the production of Fiddler on the Roof that I was in. It was like that. You knew exactly what was coming up, and there was this sort of, the best way I can describe it, it was a rhythm that you got into. And it's almost like you kind of almost don't have to think, you just start doing it, right? So, but, of course, there's the added wrinkle of improvisation when something doesn't go right, you know, and somebody flubs a line or somebody jumps forward in the script, and, you know, you got to be able to handle that.
I mean, it's like I do love to see a good stage production, because mm-hmm. we've got this channel on our cable package called Sky Arts, and mm-hmm. on occasion they will show stage productions shot in HD. Mm-hmm. So, like, I remember watching the Pirates of Penzance one night, and it wasn't like a modern day one. It was like one made back in the 1980s with, I think it was John England, some old British rocker, as the main captain. But I just remember watching it. I was thinking, wow, it's a musical, and you got to memorize this. It's like, it's like, you know. One of the things I'd love to see on stage is Doctor Who, The Ultimate Adventure. Because, A, it's Doctor Who on stage, and B, it's like the amount they have to memorise, because there's a lot happening in that, if you ever manage to listen to the audio version.
No, that sounds really interesting.
It was a stage play back in the 80s, recently started with John Pertwee, because they got Terence Dix to write it, who was like
neat.
Head story editor of the John Pertwee era.
Oh, nice.
And then I think it ran for a year, might have been 6 months, but I know halfway through, John Pertwee just got a blank spot, like during the opening scene, and he just turned to the audience and said, I'm terribly sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I can't go on, my apology. And he just walked off set, and everyone was in shock. So they have to get his, this was like, he'd been doing it for like nearly 5 nights a week, and he just couldn't do it.
Oh.
He just couldn't remember his knowledge. It just went. But it all passed, and that were like, oh, this happens. This happens on Safe Suctions.
Yes. Well, I go on. So we can finish the story.
I was going to say, and then they had David Banks play the Doctor for 2 nights until they could get someone else. And for those of our listeners who don't know, David Banks is very good stage actor, but he's also famous for playing a couple of villains in soap operas and also the cyber controller in a lot of the 80s Doctor Who. In fact, Peter Davison pretty much pumps him full of lead in Ursoc because he had a very big build. If I remember correctly, he also plays the leader of that military force that helps out the Doctor in Ursoc. So he was doing two roles in that one episode.
That's interesting.
He looks a bit like Nicholas Courtney when he was younger, just a little, but not quite Nicholas Courtney. But his character did have a TAS, so... And also in the future, you could argue the Brigadier's great-great-grandson or something, but yeah, they had him for 2 nights. And what's always I found amazing was they had 2 nights to get another actor and to get them to memorise the script. And they got Colin Baker in for the remainder of the tour.
Oh, so they got Colin Baker. Okay, yeah.
Who actually?
Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun.
He was, because what they said was, because Colin said, because it's Terence Dix, Terence knows how to write a good Doctor Who story, and all they had to do was change 2 lines. And I can't remember what one was, but one of the lines was, reverse the polarity. And Colin said, no, my doctor should not say that. That's John's doctor. Please, could you change this one line? Which is fair enough.
Right.
I can understand why. It's just, God, it's one of those things I would love to see, you know?
I know. I would have loved to have seen that, too. Was this when, I mean, was this after Colin Baker had left the show when this happened? I think this was
during Sylvester McCoy's second year.
Okay. Because I know that Colin Baker walked out in a huff and didn't even do a regeneration scene because there were some problems.
He recently signed a contract for like 3 seasons, if I remember correctly, and that expired at the end of Trial of the Time Lord because it went on that 18-month hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
So he got paid for a year he wasn't even filming for. And when the contract expired and it came to renegotiation, he wanted to do one more year and then maybe consider leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, well, actually, no, we'd rather just pay you for this like opening 5 minutes and then that's it.
And he said no.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy.
I was sad to see him go. I know this may make people raise their eyebrows, but he was one of my favorite doctors. I mean, he was probably almost my favorite. I really loved him, you know. Even though I know most people love Tom Baker
I was going to say, it's like, everyone loves their Tom Baker, everyone loves their David Tennant. I cannot stand David Tennant.
Really? Interesting. Interesting.
It's not just the whole, his final line, you know.
I don't want to go.
Oh, come on, I bet you any money the Paul McGann doctor didn't whine when, you know, the explosion from Gallifrey hit him in the face. I bet he looked at it head on. Yeah, I'm going to die. Boom!
Yeah.
Well, that's the fan theory. He caused Gallifrey to explode, and the explosion is causing regeneration.
Right.
Because there's a line somewhere, I can't remember where it's from, where the doctor goes, then something happened after the end of the war when I had to blow up Gallifrey, and someone says, what? He goes, I survived. I weren't expecting that. So it's fan theory. People have always actually assumed it was the Paul McGann doctor, which is, to me, fascinating as a fan, that, you know, oh, this doctor, he's only had one film, but loads of books, and yet he may or may not be responsible for something that has become a footnote, like a major footnote in the fan canon. He blew up Gallifrey. This fascinates me, you know?
Now they only got one movie out of the whole thing. That is interesting.
And yet he's done the biggest change known to, like, the fandom ever, because, you know, you look at fan audios, you look at the novels, and only the BBC novels are sort of thought of, yeah, let's blow up Gallifrey. Only one set of novels have ever done that.
Hmm.
Now, granted, it was an
but yet that's part. But that's part of the. I mean, that's even part of the official canon right now, right? I mean, they keep referring to that over and over again. Oh yeah, there's no more Time Lords. They keep saying that.
Yeah, the Time War. But there was a story arc in the books where, well, they weren't fighting the Daleks. It was a group called the Fraxon Paradox. Creepy. They sound like Section 31 from Star Trek a bit.
they
don't sound nowhere near as cool as saying Daleks blew up Gallifrey.
Yeah, it would sound cooler, you know.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Well, honestly, this is my experience with Doctor Who. I watched loads of Tom Baker. I watched all of Peter Davison, all of Colin Baker, and then when Sylvester McCoy came on, lost interest in the show because I didn't like where they went with it. It just felt too campy and silly. And whereas Colin Baker, I felt like they were taking the show a lot more seriously, the writing anyway. With Sylvester McCoy, it felt like they went into camp land and were trying to get kids involved. And then so I stopped watching the show, and then, of course, went off the air. And then I got all excited when they had the movie, and I saw the Paul McGann one, and then it sort of went away. And then when they resurrected the show, his name slips my mind. When he took, I haven't seen a single episode with him, and I missed loads of episodes with the next guy,
David Tennant.
Yeah,
David Tennant. Yeah, trust me.
Oh, okay, well, I did enjoy the last two parter. I thought that was really good.
That was. I'm half and half on that.
Really?
Yeah. The final to David Tennant. Yeah, the problem is, David Tennant's first year, there's too much, like, gurning. And it's like, there's this line that I always roll my eyes at, and I just go, oh dear God, no. And it's basically, Rose, the companion's in the TARDIS with her mum, they're chatting, and because there's, like, ghosts appearing all over England, all over the world, at, like, one specific time every day. And then she goes, well, how are you going to track it? And the Doctor just walks out with this weird techno-organic Ghostbuster-looking knockoff backpack with, like, a really tiny ray gun. And he just walks out going, who are you going to call? Like, Scooby-Doo's trying to impersonate a Ghostbuster.
That's lame.
That was very lame. I was rolling my eyes at it. It's like, who are you going to call? And Rose said, Ghostbusters! And he goes, I don't feel no ghosts. I literally rolled my eyes at that. I was like, oh my God. How do we go from Christopher Eccleston trying to murder a Dalek in cold blood to this?
Yeah, exactly. But so far, I'm liking the Matt Smith Doctor. So, and are you liking the show so far with him?
I like Matt Smith. I think he's got the fans just seem to. I think it's like David Tennant had so many fans because David Tennant to me has sort of come off as like the second incarnation of Tom Baker. When people talk about Doctor Who, they look at David Tennant. They're like, oh, he's so dreamy. And I'm like, that's not Doctor Who. God, I mean, I went to a convention, there was all these fangirls there for David Tennant.
Well, he's, yeah.
And Matt Smith, the thing I like about Matt Smith is when you watch interviews with him, when he's acting normally, you stop for a second, you look at him, you honest to God can believe, and also when he's acting, when you do a close-up on his face, you honest to God believe his eyes scream, I've lived more than one lifetime. Look at that. Oh, when he does, when you get a good shot of his eyes, when he's just doing that deep thought stare. He's also batshit insane, so that helps.
Well, that does help, and he's he's certainly the whole introduction when he meets
Amy.
So yeah, you could Amy. I know. That's how bad I am with names. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's all
right. When he meets Amy for the first time as the little girl, he's hysterical. I mean, my daughter doesn't particularly like Doctor Who, but she was laughing at that. So
Fish fingers and custard.
Fish fingers and custard was the best. I was like, that's hilarious.
It actually, what I find interesting is, I hope you don't mind me talking about, you know, the latest episode, Master of the Odin.
That's why I'm on, right, is to talk about this.
Yeah, sorry.
we could get back on that subject, I suppose.
Well, we're talking about Doctor Who, and you're playing a Doctor, so...
This is true, yes.
I was going to say, I noticed a lot of similarities, like, I guess it's just the basic idea of, you know, the Doctor meeting his young child, and then as he grows older, he becomes the companion, like, years later.
Yes, and I figured that the writers were inspired by that on the show. So, yeah, I know, I love this idea. And the interesting thing is the gal that's playing Carly is I know her from a previous production. Hang on here just for a second. It's called
production or a name or.
Amy Farrell, that's it. Slipping my mind. Amy Farrell,
I was gonna say,
I knew her from, was in a previous production of, there's a fellow named Joe Harrison who I got to know. In fact, he's the reason why I got into vocal acting in the first place. I used to listen to this radio station called Radio Rivendell, and I used to hang out on the forums, and he put out a call saying, I'm looking for vocal actors. I'm doing this Lord of the Rings knockoff. It's, you know, it's not really Lord of the Rings, but it's inspired by Lord of the Rings, and it's kind of set in this mystical, you know, Middle-earthian style thing. Like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. So I auditioned, and he cast me in the role of narrator. Anyway, Amy Farrell played an elf in this, and I always thought she was fabulous. I was like, wow, she's great. So I hooked up with her on Facebook, you know, a few years later. And when this came up, when the auditions came up, I threw it out there and I said, hey, anyone, you know, they're looking for a girl that can, a female actress that can play a girl, but also can play a grown woman. And she's, you know, it's going to need to go through this sort of timeline thing. And she says, I'll try it, and she got the part. And I was like, all right. And she's great. She's exceeded my expectations, I think. So.
Yeah. I was going to say, just to let our listeners know, episode 1 of Master of the Odin is out, if anyone wants to quickly give that a listen and check out, you know, Doug being the Doctor and Amy Farrell as the new companion.
Amy Farrell, yes.
So if you want Doug's, in my opinion, if you want real good episode of Doug's Doctor, the one about the zombies, I can't remember the name.
Yeah, Might of the Starry Sea, Faces of the Dead.
That's it, sorry. Yeah. I need to say Dance of the Dead, I don't know why.
No.
That's a movie.
Yeah, no. That's, well, now you're getting into, what, Dance of the Dead, isn't that The Prisoner? Yeah.
It's also an episode of Trauma where movie by Trauma where zombies attack a prom night.
Oh, okay.
it's like a gory Shaun of the Dead type comedy, and the best scene of it is they distract the zombies by having a hard rock metal band playing on stage.
Sounds like some shticks that you get in those silly Lego games, like the Harry Potter Lego games and stuff. It sounds like something they would invent, you know. But anyway, getting back to the thing, I thought that was like one of the strongest. I thought that was a really good episode. It was one of my wife's favorite episodes, or story rather, Faces of the Dead. There's a lot of great stuff going on in that. And plus, the interesting thing is the subtext of my doctor and Robbie trying to get along. In fact, they have actually been changing my doctor a bit because he first started off as being extremely gruff and very moody and would, you know, snap at Robbie every chance he got, and they're kind of, it was one of those things, if you listen to the next story, Firechild, he starts to soften the way he is toward Robbie. And I don't want to give too much away in the Master of the Odin, but, it's going to be a different sort of relationship that he's going to have with, the companion, this new companion. He's very, very soft with Carly, and he just likes her right off the bat. He's much different than, with Robbie, he was, "You're a nuisance, get out of the way. You know, I'm going to give you a jolly good smack bottom," you know, and this sort of thing. Yeah, you know, and he's not that way at all with Carly. In fact, at one point I delivered a line when my doctor was telling Carly she should really go out and do what her mom tells her to do. And I took it a little bit sternly, like a parent would to a child. And, Thomas wrote back, I want you to be a lot softer with her. You know, you're never harsh with her ever at all. And I thought that was really something, you know. So it's a completely sort of different, a completely different take, if you will, on, you know.
It's like, I remember listening to Might of the Sari Sue, which is like, mm-hmm. one yeah. of those episodes you should really listen to once you've listened to a few good DWADs, I think, because, yeah. It's a regeneration episode. Spoiler for something that's been out for a year over the internet, by the way, folks.
Yes, if you haven't listened to it by now, oh well.
Yes,
the Doctor has regenerated.
Yeah. I mean, fair enough, to start with DWAD, folks, start with the Sometime Trap. You get a nice little introduction from James K. Flynn. You pretty much figure out what his doctor's like, because that's what James K. Flynn doctor was. He was a kindly, caring uncle.
Yeah, yeah. And he was kind of like a Sherlock Holmes, wasn't he?
The image they used for James K. Flynn was Matt Fuhrer from, funny enough, a Sherlock Holmes TV movie he did.
Right. And but his whole approach to the character, yeah, I love that description, what you just said. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much him. I James K. Flynn, wow, what a natural actor anyway.
Yeah. Well, he has done other things. I know he was in, according to IMDb, I'm assuming it's the James K. Flynn, because mm-hmm. it lists the Death Man trailer, which James is in. He's playing the guy that's dancing, and then he finds out he's deaf. But it says here he was also in a old TV show called The Storytellers, mm-hmm. like voice acting.
Mm.
Hang on. It will say what he's been in. James K. Flynn, Internet Movie Database.
Wow.
Positive it's the same one, because it lists the deaf man. The sort that he did, because James K. Flynn looks nothing like the doctor image they use, folks.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a very
not.
Well-built man. He has a big, bushy beard. And
I'll tell you. I don't see a James K. Flynn in IMDb. Maybe you could. Oh, just are you Skyping it to me?
Yeah, sorry.
Hang on. Sorry, using two computers at once. This is kind of dumb.
That's right.
Here you go. Let me start up a browser. I actually am friends with him on Facebook, and he does not look anything. The doctor that you.
Yeah.
James K. Flynn. Oh yeah, well I see that. Right. Well, filmography. Here it is. The deaf man.
Possibly that same, because it looks a lot like the picture on Facebook. If you've ever watched it, it's a very well-built man with a big, brushy beard, like on the cover to a book. It's just the bottom one, TV series in 1997, Storykeepers.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's done stuff, folks, a lot of it voice work, especially the Storykeepers, that's a cartoon.
Well, that would make sense. Well, you hear his voice, you'd know right off. He's got a distinct voice. He also does stage plays as well.
Mm.
So I actually pimped something for him on the Doctor Who audio dramas Facebook fan page.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember the link.
Yeah. So he's fabulous, and it was kind of funny when it came time for the regeneration. I was helping Thomas edit the dialogue together just to try to get it out the door faster. And I was just going, oh, he's leaving. This is too bad. I didn't want him to leave, you know. Because he's just such a natural actor, and he's so good. Yeah.
Any idea if it was a case of he chose to leave, or did the team want him to sort of, like, go, or they gave him a set number of years, or...
I don't know what the contractual issues were.
Mm.
I know that they basically, okay, for me, they said, we want you on for 5 years.
It's roughly going to be three seasons, ain't it?
I think so, right? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's how. So. It just depends on the number of stories and the number of episodes per story. I mean, that makes a difference, too. So,
yeah. So I remember... when I got cast as Charlie, they said it would roughly be a year. And if I remember correctly, I got cast back in March, and then, yeah, I think that's right, actually, when Alive came out. Because it's roughly, they tried to get at least, what is it, three stories out a year now? Or is it just two now?
I think they try for three, but sometimes it gets bogged down.
I know they have.
You came on when... Your first thing was Equilibrium, right?
Yeah, they did the casting call for Charlie Hawkins first before even announcing Equilibrium.
Right, and of course I'm in that story as well. I play the governor, and then there's Long Winter's Night, which I actually have a bit part in.
The guy who gets annoyed at me and the doctor. Yeah.
Yep. I get annoyed by you guys on the plane. Alive, I'm not in. And then, did you leave in Alive or Eyes of All?
Yeah, they wrote me out. Three stories, yeah, they said.
Yeah.
Came four because they did the Children Need special at the last minute.
Right. Eyes of All was it for you, right?
No, I wasn't even in that.
No?
I'd already left by then. The last scene of Alive is me leaving. Yeah. I was kind of, part of me was disappointed, and part of me was like, well, I've had a decent run. People don't hate me like Adrek. One person said I was Thomas Bewer, written correctly. I can't complain.
Can't complain. And you do get to come back in the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, they did ask me. When I left, they said, sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, yeah, you get to come back, so that's going to be a fun one. Yeah.
I mean, when I left, they did ask me, you know, would you mind coming back for the anniversary? It's going to be like roughly 2 years' time or something. Yeah, if I'm still acting, yeah, so why not?
Oh, you're still doing it.
Oh, yeah. Still playing your bit part here and there, and still trying to get other work. I mean, I've just recently been casting a Star Trek fan audio called Equinox.
Oh, that's amazing.
One for Sex, sorry.
That's going to be great. Well, yeah, that's right. You were in the last... you were actually in...
Okay. Good night. Sorry, everyone's starting to go to bed, but I've still got a bit of time.
No, okay. Just let me know. You were actually in... You were actually cast in the current one.
A security guard, yes, that gets... To a monster. I've still not listened to Master Yoden yet. I must apologize. Still not.
You should listen to it. It's actually pretty good. And James K. Flynn, of course, is in it as well.
I've started listening to episode one. I got up to the part where he criticizes Carly's dad for having that large lunch, and then something came up. I can't remember what it was. I got distracted by something. It's just been a busy week lately. I've had to be called Lions for Equinox, Gaia. And I'm trying to help out David Holt with it, and Miles, the head writer / co-producer on their fan audio with editing.
So you've got a lot going on.
Yeah, and there's some of my podcasts as well.
Yeah, there's your podcasts. Where do you find the time?
late nights on a Saturday when I cannot sleep. That's when I get all the editing done.
That's probably about the time you do it, right?
Well, I work 12 to 8 on a Saturday, and there's like over an hour commute to and fro. So by the time I get home, it's gone like 9:30. I've had something to eat. I'm wide awake after, you know, being on my feet for 8 hours solid at work. I cannot sleep. Apologies to the grandfather clock, folks.
Oh, I think it's quite quaint.
It's very old clock.
You got to love the internet, because here I am having a chat with a fellow in England listening to his grandfather clock in his living room, you know, while I sit here in California.
Nice sunny California, I hope, or?
Well, right now it's a bit sunny. It was raining. It's actually sunny right now. Yeah.
Cold and damp here, and with another chance of snow like last Saturday.
Oh, snow. We never get snow. We do get rain, but not snow. No,
it's not too bad. Where were we? Sorry.
Oh, so we were talking about the life of a companion. So you were just written in, and the same thing happened with Robbie. I felt like we just got to know Robbie.
Yeah.
Wham! She's gone. You know.
What I always found interesting about my companion Charlie was they gave me this like brief synopsis about Charlie and all these plans they had for him, and my first thought was, you're gonna cram all this into 3 episodes?
Yeah.
Like they said, oh, Charlie should have at least one romance on his adventure, and then it ends horribly. And then their original plan was, spoiler folks, their original plan was at the end of whatever story it was going to be, might have been Alive, might have been The Eyes for All, they never actually told me, Charlie was going to die.
Oh.
And it leaves the Doctor heartbroken, would have been one of the reasons why Moira left, and...
Well, that would have been really cool. Yeah. Well, instead they went with the angle that Moira was actually a probe, and I thought that was really cool. And they did plan that actually. What's the name of the episode?
Iron Legion.
Maybe that's the one where. Yeah, it's the Dalek scans her and says something like life form not known or something like that. And it's just sort of a throwaway line.
Yeah.
And you go, whoa, cool.
It's like I know for a long time The Eyes for All wasn't their original odd story from Always Apart on. You know, Julio, who wrote the very first... I can't remember his full name.
Julio Ortiz?
Yes. The man who wrote James Clavin's debut.
That's Object Permanence.
They planned one called... I can't remember what the name was, but it was like a 6-part adventure. And it would have been Moira's departure. So I wonder how much was dropped / changed with that one. I really do.
Probably why you didn't get that death scene, as it were.
Probably because Julio got fired, from what I've read.
Fired?
Oh, yeah, man. He just wasn't getting stuff in on time. Like, some time trap was originally named Warhammer. And
that's
a totally different story as well, so...
Whoa.
Again, that's like...
Well, you know what? Yeah. That's but he's written a lot, but I guess not that much. Well, still three stories, but that's a shame. I guess that changed a lot of things what they were gonna do. So, well, the little tidbit in the upcoming story, my character in Santaran Trap, Holmes.
Yeah.
He'll be coming back as well, so I'm going to be two characters. I'm going to be playing two characters in this next one. It's going to be really big.
I always thought James Clavin had played two characters, one in Hippocratic Oath, because in episode one, there's a security guard that sounds an awful lot like James K. Finn doing like a low, gruff-sounding voice.
It might be him. It's possible. And I think I've heard him along the way in an episode or two somewhere. I know it's like, man, that sounds a lot like him. So I know they're probably going to bring him back every now. Well, he's definitely in the latest one. Master of the Odin. Mm. So, and he plays actually a decent sized role. So,
yeah.
This time he's putting on kind of a Scottish accent. Mm. Have you ever heard his demo reel? It's loads of fun.
I know. He's got Irish ancestry, hasn't he?
I don't. Well, Flynn, that's an Irish name. Mm. But his demo reel is hilarious. He has like this, you know, he says, right, we're going to call the meeting of British Isles accents to order. And then he is, you know, filling the room with all these different voices, and he's, you know, obviously cut it together. So it's really a fun demo reel. It's out on his, excuse me, I think it's out on his site. But, he's quite the talented fellow. So, you hear voices being reused, like, you know, Steve Anderson keeps coming back. And so, you know, they keep bringing all these different people, you know, it's loads of fun. So, and you, of course, you know. Unmistakable Charlie voice.
Well, it's always made me wonder, because I always assumed my Cockney accent was terrible, and it makes me wonder, how bad would the other auditions if they thought mine was the best?
Well, most of us are Yanks trying to do, British Isles accents. So I had one gal who was from England tell me, well, it's not that your accent sounds bad or anything. I just don't know where you're from. It's like a mishmash of, you know, stuff, you know. And so obviously you listen carefully, and then I'll mess a few words up, and it'll give me away. But for the most part, you know. We got some definitely fun episodes coming up. It's going to be interesting, and I'm really looking forward to the 30th anniversary one. I think it's going to be loads of fun.
I mean, we haven't got all the doctors back, but we've got a good chunk of them. We're missing one, aren't we?
Yeah, the first one, right?
I thought it was the third one. I thought Vincent Savage was in this.
No, I don't remember. I don't recall seeing a Vincent Savage. There's David Segal, Jeffrey Coburn. I believe Jeffrey Coburn, right? Maybe he's not there.
I
read through the script really fast, and so I might have missed something.
Well, Melissa's in it, because Mulaney, who plays Melissa, is on my Facebook list, and we were chatting about the script. So she's a Vincent Savage companion, because they couldn't get the original actress back. I don't know. She's probably moved on or something. But it probably also helps most of those episodes are missing, so...
Yeah.
So they can't do a recasting, I guess, but it's... Even she's in it, so I assume Vincent Savage was in it, because, you know, she's the companion usually associated with Vincent Savage now.
Yeah. I actually should probably go back, and I'm a little bit remiss on some of these. I think I actually did listen to Dreamscape, but some of these others I haven't really listened that much to, so.
Dreamscape, sorry.
Hmm?
I was going to say.
Well, I listened to. Gotta love Skype. Go ahead, you finish.
I was going to say, Dreamscape's, to the best of my knowledge, the only one with Vincent Savage which isn't a crossover with the Doctors, so...
Yeah, it's the only one that's on the site, in fact, is Dreamscape. There's a bunch of David Segal episodes, but I downloaded one of them, Gateway, and the audio quality's not so good. It's kind of hard to listen to, so... That is the one disadvantage, I think, probably because it was made in the 80s, and you know. But the audio quality progressively gets better as you go through. And I've listened to some De Natale episodes, which was pretty good. Specifically, I listened to the last one, Time's Champions, where you know his last story. But it's worth, I think it's worth going through them and you get a feel for them, especially for the 30th, because there's going to be a load of voices in there. And if you don't know them, it might be a little confusing.
I mean, I did go back and listen to a load of David Segal like last year, and I kind of like the fact they sounded old, and like they were clearly made back in like 80s, early 90s.
Right.
I was enjoying, because it sounds so different to what we're used to now.
Yeah. Excuse me for a second. I'm just opening a window. I'm just opening up a window. It's a little warm in here.
That's all right.
Yeah, so it's almost like going back and watching a William Hartnell episode or something.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it has that feel to it, right? You know. So it's just, you know. But yeah, there's probably a lot I need to catch up with. So, and yeah, you know, I mean, that's the nice thing. There's a lot of stories to listen to. So
I think that's one of the appeals for the audio drama group is they've got so many episodes, because back in the days when I first started voice acting, you know, back in the days when everyone used VAA and barely no one does now. Some do, some don't, but
I go there once in a while, but man, I was heavy into that site for a while.
Yeah, that, back in its day, that was an awesome site. It just seems lately, it seems to be the same people posting, like, oh, another pendant update. Oh, another clip. Okay, anything good on here? I'm not knocking pendant, folks. I'm just saying, back in the day when I used to go on, there used to be always something different. There used to be always something good. And yet lately, it seems to be the same old lately. The same people posting the same type of thing. It's not like, no one seems adventurous. And if anyone is adventurous, they just seem to give up. Case in point, there was a, what was it? There was a production I was part of. We were disinfort and just dropped dead. I can't remember the name of it now. That was it, Power Rangers Strataforce. Someone tried to do a Power Rangers fan audio, and it just seemed to disappear.
Hmm.
You know, I guess that's one of my biggest complaints about fan audios. There's so many now, and yet ones you would like to hear, there don't seem to be many of. Case in point, like, someone started a Mega Man fan audio, but they've dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I think a lot of it is that their kid, you know, people that are in college or something like that, and it's like, this is going to be great. And of course, you know, they move on with their lives and then they just drop it entirely. So it's hard to keep up with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, having said that, I came across some excellent productions by being there. Mm. And well, for one thing, I discovered DWAD and auditioned for Equilibrium. And I met Russ Gold there and got recruited, Agent 11, that's where I got recruited from. And then somehow, I don't know if he may have just invited me to be in Misfile. But so there's a lot of different productions that I discovered on this. It was a lot of fun, like you say, in the day. But, I just haven't had the time really to do much. So especially my work, my job has just been, man, really picking up. So I don't have time to really do as much as I used to anyway. But it was a great experience while it was there, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the VAA is still there. It just doesn't seem as active as it used to be.
No. But it does sound like you're keeping busy with a lot of really good productions. So it sounds like Darker Projects is doing a lot of stuff for you. And
I'm just editing at the minute. I know Dark Projects is trying to get regular content out once a month.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, they're just trying to find the people. I mean, a lot of people seem to have just stopped altogether. A lot of people went to Broken Sea, and there's a whole story there, but I'm not going to get into that. Someone told me something, folks, but that's all I'm saying.
Just leave everybody hanging. Sorry. Hey, somebody told me a story once, and you don't get to know. Email me, I'll tell you about it. Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
It involves a lot of backstabbing, let's just say.
Well, sometimes these things happen. I got a friend of mine on, who's actually quite a competent director. He's done some very, very good productions. And boy, the characters he writes are great. And he just got totally screwed around by this. He was complaining about it on Facebook. I mean, this guy just did a number on him. And it was one of those things where it's, you know, agreed to have things done. And then not only did he not do it, but he trashed all this other stuff. And it was just, backstabby stuff. And he was heartbroken. And
Marvel's? Star Wars Marvel's?
Yeah, Marvel's. Yeah,
I remember reading about that. Yeah, it was Andrew Gilbertson's production, wasn't it? Should really include the trailer one of these days.
Yeah, I played a couple of characters in the first three episodes, and I loved the parts that he wrote. They were just great. And it was funny. He's saying, "You did a great job on them." I was like, "No, you did a great job writing them because they were just really easy to do." That's what I felt, you know. But he just got really. I don't know the full details, but I just saw him complaining about it, and it's just, God, that's awful, you know, because, Andrew's a good guy, and I think he's really good at what he does, so.
What I've heard, he got hate mail once, and then this person then contacted him under pseudonym, as a different person, saying, and then he just sort of, like, screwed him over. Yeah. This guy had some real emotional problems, what I've heard.
God, just whatever. Get a life.
Sounds like right troll, this person that screwed him over, though.
Well, that's a great way to describe him, because that's exactly what... Yeah, that's right. I remember the... Now that you mention it, I remember more of the details. Absolutely. That's awful. A terrible thing to do. But Marvels is a lot of fun. It was a neat, nifty little production that, kind of a Star Wars, but with a comedy edge.
Yeah. So before the mythos started or something.
Well, also with I'm so good with names. The guy that played Han Solo.
I can't remember his name in
Jim. Jim. Darn it! Facebook is failing me.
Is it
Jim something? Oh, Jim's gonna kill me now. He's gonna say, "Yeah, you thought I was so great, and then you forgot my name."
Hang on, I'll go on Star Wars Marvel website.
There you go. Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Listen to me tight, folks.
I remember his first name.
but
he's great.
One of the things are, it's like... here we go. No Line Cinema. That's Andrew's site, ain't it?
That's Andrew's site, yeah. And it's Jim something. Well, of course, you could probably go to even my site.
You still got that protest thing up.
I got the... I sure do, don't I? Maybe it's time to take that dumb thing down. Okay. God, I forgot that I had that on there.
So, I can't... It doesn't even say.
There's
a poster up, but it's so small, I can't read it.
It's a conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen. It is conspiring against us to know the truth.
Andrew, if you're listening, mate, could you, just make that post a little bit bigger, please? I'll include a link.
Okay, all right, here we go. My site is back in action. Okay.
Oh, good.
Jim Perry! okay. So yeah, Jim Perry's great. I discovered him in Marvels because Andrew Gilbertson had cast him as Han Solo. He's just a perfect Han Solo. I mean, his Han Solo is great. And so when I did the birthday audio play, which Charlie wanted a part for Charlie, so Lee joined us in the production.
Yeah.
And it was a small part, but still fun. And so I went to Jim and I said, "Would you be willing to do this?" And I got Joe Harrison, who's the guy that did Age of the Swords, and that's how I know Amy Farrell, just to give you an idea. Joe Harrison's quite talented. His productions are really good. And he's a hell of a composer. So if you're ever looking for Stitched Crosses, he did the full soundtrack to Stitched Crosses, which was really awesome. That was a piece that I was involved in by Radke. I can only think of the last name. Josh Radke. Or Radke or Radka. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. But did this huge – it's basically a graphic novel adaptation to audio, and he gave me loads of narration to read. So it was a really big thing, a very kind of rich production, lots of imagery going on. And Joe, of course, did all the music. But anyway, so Joe – pardon me.
So
Joe and his brother Tim and Jim agreed to help out, and so they contributed some nice stuff for this birthday audio. Then of course Lee came in, and I had some local talent, people that I know personally, Laura Sandage, who's who I sing in a vocal ensemble with, and so she's part of it. And it was a nice little surprise to give to my wife on her 41st birthday, and she was very surprised, which is hard to do because she's somebody that notices details, so it's hard to get things past her, if you know what I'm saying. So yeah. I have to really be careful. Having to do late night rehearsals and you know. But the interesting thing is, I know we're kind of switching around, but that's when I wrote that part, they had given me the synopsis of My Doctor, right? And in fact, Lee, if you want to put this link up on your site so people can download
it's in the it's in the oh, you mean your website or the
yeah
the
yeah,
synopsis? The all right, I'm gonna say I think yeah. your synopsis is still up on in the Writers Guild, the Writers Guide. Sorry.
Okay, that's that'd be fine too, but you know it's you know he said it was pretty crotchety and kind of just wants to be left alone. He acts that way, but he really doesn't inside, yeah. right? So I sort of wrote him as I understood him.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't even done The Doctor yet.
Yeah.
I had just done some auditions for Light Hope, and so I had an idea of what his voice was like. And so and I read like the opening of Might of the Starry Sea, or not Might of the Starry Sea, Faces of the Dead, just that scene between he and Robbie. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got a feel for what he was like, and so I wrote this. And oh, all kinds of big firestorms on the forum. And, oh, these guys
yeah.
are
drinking. Yeah, I remember that now. Chamber moaning and
yeah. Oh, geez, Chamber just went nuts and yeah.
I remember that being very rude and called you a terrible actor at one point, if I remember.
Yeah, that was after the debut of Might of the Starry Sea, and boy, he was ruthless, and
yeah.
I called him on some of it, and he actually backed off. So he's sort of come around, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, you're the Doctor now, fine.
Face of the Dead is really sort of the episode that, you know, we finally get a real proper look at your Doctor, because that's the one problem with Might of the Starry Sea. It's a regenerating story. You're not even in half of it. You're probably in one
yeah.
episode and a quarter.
That's so, absolutely right. One full episode and a quarter, absolutely.
So the argument I was putting to people, I remember saying was, look, this is not how we should judge this Doctor. Let's wait for the first few eps, and then we'll see. Okay?
Right.
Once the first few eps are out, then we'll see how they're going to take him, what he's going to be written like. You know, I doubt we're going to get a repeat of, you know, the negative side of Colin Baker season. I remember saying that
yeah.
to people, and then they sort of calmed down, and some people just carried on moaning. But, you know, forums for you folks.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people are never going to be happy, you know. I mean, even I think Light Hope said, you know, oh, no, you know, David Tennant has regenerated. What will we do? You know, and then people got over it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. Your favorite doctor dies and, oh, no. And, you know, because people resist change and then, you know. But admittedly, I have to say that I was kind of sensitive in, too, because it's like, wow, I'm following James K. Flynn, and that was a tough act to follow.
Yeah.
So I was extremely nervous about how I was going to be received as the Doctor. Because it's like, okay, this is a this is a different departure, and I'm sorry, I'm not in the same league as James K. Flynn. You know, I mean, I can do the part, but he is just like, you know, he's professional quality, and so how is this going to come off? But I think I've settled into the role pretty well, and I'm really starting to pick up a stride here. So, and the writers are too; they're getting used to me, and so you know, they were watching the Doctor form here, so. I think it's going to, or listening in that regard. But yeah, it was like the first time was that audio play. Oh boy.
Yeah.
And then, and they were complaining about how my doctor treated Charlie so bad and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh geez, I can't tell if there's really going to be a scene. I read through it pretty fast where Charlie and my doctor get to be in the same scene. I don't think there is one. You know?
I haven't read it yet, but then again, your doctor's gone off on his own little thing. You could easily do like a season 6B with your doctor or something.
Yeah, he's off in, you know, he's off like in Hawaii, you know.
Yeah, there, you know, there's these gaps of time in between your doctor, say, like, you know, before he meets Carly. He could easily have gone on adventures with, you know, a slightly older Charlie. You don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's a big finish to take advantage of, because, you know, Colin Baker's had so many non-TV companions. He's got Flip now. He's had Evelyn, Phobosar.
Isn't actually Colin Baker doing stuff for them in Big Finish?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because they've got all five doctors now.
That's great.
Tom Baker's just like recently agreed to do a load of stories, and January was like the big release of the Lost Stories Tom Baker box set and the new Tom Baker Adventures.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, audio gives you a real freedom. In a way, because you don't, yeah, you're lacking visuals, but that's the benefit. So there's, all you have to have is a good story, right?
Yeah.
And you can do anything. You don't need sets. You don't need, you know, so you can do these kind. It's like, you know, Mark Hamill having Life After Star Wars, you know, it's like he just went crazy in the audio world, and he's an incredible vocal actor. If you listen to his stuff, it's like, wow, this guy is amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
so
in my mind, he's the definitive voice of the Joker. Even to the point that, you know, the live-action TV series Birds of Prey, which was sort of like a daughter of Batman-type series, they filmed stuff with an actor dressed up as Joker, but they dubbed him over with Mark Hamill doing the voice.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. So exactly that. You know, you don't recognise him under all this makeup, and you hear, and he's opening his mouth, and you just hear Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
So I get the impression the plan was they were going to bring Mark Hamill in later as an older Joker, essentially. That's the impression I got.
Well, that'll be interesting. But, I see, they're using his voice as the younger version kind of thing.
Yeah, and that was the impression I got was they'd probably bring him in and just be older and crankier. Because they adapted the Alan Moore story where he suits Barbara Gordon and she's paralysed.
Oh, yeah.
So she's like Oracle now. She's like hooked up into all the internet. She's on like three computer screens, and she's training like these young teenage heroes. And it got cancelled after about 13 eps. So.
Right.
It's the same. It had promise. I think the biggest complaint was there wasn't enough Batman villains in it. Like, they had Clayface in, but that was... Well, Helena was the daughter of Batman and Catwoman after a one-night stand.
Nice.
Helena Kyle, sort of keeping in touch with the comics, because back in the old, at some point in the old 1940s comics, they said, oh, we had a daughter named Helena.
Okay.
1950s, I'm not too sure.
Right.
They sort of just adapted that. But it's one of those weird things you look back on, you're like, oh, wait, you tried to do something different with TV, and then you got cancelled.
Yeah, well, you take a risk. That's why some shows don't take risks, because they don't want to get cancelled. And I think, I don't know, I do enjoy when a show does do it and it's successful. It's really awesome. So it depends. You know, depends on the writer.
Yeah. Better start wrapping this up because it's like 11:30. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I got to get back to work here, so it's the middle of my day. So,
cheers for doing this, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this was great. So, thanks for having me on the show.
That's all right. Cheers for doing this interview. All right. Thank you, folks. Thank you for joining me and my very, you know, well talented guest, who's a far better actor than me, might I add.
Thank you. You hold your own just fine. Don't worry about it.
I want to say thank you to Doug again. And if you have a comment, complaint, or just a general question, please email us at randomcrappodcast@hotmail.co.uk. And that's all I can think, really. Sorry, I'm just so tired now.
And that's my fault. I was supposed to get on with you an hour before, so...
It's all right. It happens, don't worry. It happens. The amount of times I've sat here waiting for people to get on to do a review or something, like tomorrow... And mess with the weirdly folks.
All right, Lee, will you take it easy?
I will. Cheers again, mate. And
thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
That's
take care.
Okay, thank you again.
A scientific breakthrough which could end starvation in the world belies sinister events when the experiment goes wrong. Monsters now appear in the streets, coming up from the ground itself, and no one seems safe from becoming infected. The only clue the doctor has is a young girl who is frightened by the voices coming from her mother's garden. Not everyone is telling the truth, and there is one who is manipulating everyone else.
This discovery will revolutionize the world.
Crossbred, spliced, gene-manipulated.
You know who we are.
And we can't have that.
Don't go near the garden!
Daddy, you're scaring me!
I said give it to me!
Hey!
Daddy!
What are you?
Kill! Kill!
Ah!
Daddy, get away from that thing!
It's Daddy!
Let them learn the truth on their own. They'll see. And they'll come over to our side.
I have distribution lines set up. With your permission, the Odin can begin shipping within days.
All Odin, destroy the child!
No, let her be!
Mom, please, don't hurt me!
Doctor Who faces the master of the Odin. A 4-episode audio drama by Shelley Dean from Siegel Chord Productions.
No Line Radio presents
In the Outer Rim, there lies a forgotten world. Out of time and memory, under siege. And in need of heroes.
None of us should have to live like this.
8 will answer the call. A boy and his droid.
I am neither yours nor anyone else's.
A smuggler and a Wookiee.
I see him, Chewie.
A mysterious hermit.
I'm no amateur, Han Solo.
A wizened warrior.
Fie upon you, foul feathery fiend.
A dangerous beauty.
You're on the ground, we're sitting ducks.
And a Lepus carnivorous.
I ain't no rodent. You will soon be nothing. Just one more corpse, twisting in the desert wind.
No!
So the hired gun didn't take my warning.
Yeehaw!
You will not have him, beast.
Journey back to a simpler era. The time of a new breed. An age of marvels.
Our heroes! Our heroes have arrived!
No Line Cinemas presents Star Wars Marvels, the Starhopper Solution.
Keep firing, Chewie, all of you. It's do or die, because here come the Cloud Riders.
No, you in there, Solo. It is time to step out in this fully armed and operational battle station.
You don't frighten us, Palpy. The Rebellion will give you your due in good time.
My name is Palpatine. Emperor Palpatine to you. We will personally get
him. My, who is this wizard Gandalf?
I have never seen the likes of him before.
The Galactic Empire.
We don't mean to intrude. But you see, we are merely passing through on our way to find treasure, to deliver this birthday cake and good wishes, Emperor Palpatine.
Treasure is of no concern to you. She will have to celebrate her birthday without... Who are you, anyway? Lord Vader, I thought you'd wiped out all the Jedi.
I am Gandalf the Grey, and I am afraid we have little time left. release us and allow us on our way. I don't understand.
You will find that your pathetic powers are no match for the dark side. And now, Gandalf the Grey, pathetic excuse for a Jedi. You will die.
Oh, no. Gandalf, do something!
There is little I can do here, Bilbo. My powers have no effect.
Now, die! Intrude on my Death Star.
We are just stopping in at the Selenar system to make sure the people are doing well and to ensure the Daleks have not returned.
Did you not know that I am the Supreme Emperor of the galaxy?
Doctor, this doesn't look like the planet you were telling me about.
Indeed, darling. Well, well, what have I walked into?
Who are you?
Must I always answer that question? I really detest when I'm imposed on to give a name. Hasn't anyone any sense of propriety anymore? Wherever you are, I could use a bit of help.
Damn, this is getting stranger by the minute. Wait a minute, where the hell are you going, Chewie?
I say, tall furry one, this is private property.
Oh, private!
Chewie, I'm coming in after you!
Get out of my TARDIS!
What the? This place is bigger on the inside than on the outside.
Bilbo, I think we ought to follow since the wizard is distracted. Come along.
Right behind you. Oh my. Gandalf, what sort of magic is this?
Stop, Riddlescum. You shall pay.
Oh dear, I suppose I'm to have some uninvited guests. Sorry to intrude on you, oh, Supreme Emperor. Lovely place you have here, but you cannot stay for tea, I'm afraid. Goodbye, and thank you for your hospitality.
Doctor, that one's a loon.
Yes, I know, Charlie. What is that blasted alien doing to my TARDIS? You must escape into the time stream! Ah! There. That should sort him out, I should think.
Chewie, we need to get back to the Falcon. I don't want old Palpy laying one dirty mitt on her.
I'm afraid we won't be able to go back. At least not while the Supreme Emperor wants to assault my TARDIS. There, my old girl.
Please, good sir. We are trying to find Treasure and deliver her cake and birthday wishes.
Indeed.
A birthday cake sounds pretty good, Governor.
Treasure, is it? I think I may know where to find her. Let me see. Ah, perfect. Well, I must admit, I was thinking about visiting this time period. And anything to get you lot out of here so I can have some peace and quiet.